hear me now?
You got you, Ron.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, terrific. All right, good.
Let me call this.
I was just having trouble getting on. Microsoft wasn't letting me on. So.
Maybe they lost power too.
Yeah, it could be the weather.
Now I'm all. Well, no, they gave me a signal that said that it was, you know, Zoom was compromised, or I don't know whether they're trying to get us to use their their meeting service or not. But anyway, I'm glad I got on early. I've been dealing with this for about 15 minutes. So anyway, I called in and now we're good. So what's on your mind? This is the first week back in the office. Is that correct?
Limited staff.
2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks back.
Oh, you've been 2 weeks back. Great.
Yeah,
okay.
But there's only four of us. There's only four, not the 11. We're only four.
Wow. So, how have you adjusted to that? And is it good or bad, or what's happening?
I like it.
Yay, that's work.
Yeah, no, I like having the folders, and I could give them to Mike. It's an easy access, but when you're home, I can't control the Supernova other than saying, hey, these are your calls for the day. That's all I do. I can't update the folders, but being at work, I have everything at my fingertips that I can give them as daily folders, and, you know, it works. Otherwise, from home, you know, we have to update later.
Right. Terrific. Well, great. So the folders are back in use, at least for some of you, or is that all of you?
Just one of us.
Yeah, Chris, one of you and Mike, huh?
Yeah, Chris and I are still working from home, and Cindy, which is working fine. She's still booking Supernova appointments from home. We're doing everything electronically and keeping more notes on the system. So that's the way we got to do it.
Oh, that's right. It works.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works. Clients are into it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I hear something.
Well, good. Well, terrific. It's working. That's the key. You watched the video, I hope, this week, this is we're sort of summing up the 12 weeks this week. And, you know, was there a reaction to that? There's some interesting things about servant leadership in there. There's some things about the checklist, failure points, and other things. People are always asking me, okay, what happens when people fail at Supernova? What are the reasons they fail? And so I just went ahead and put them in there. And then we have a checklist of all the different things that we're supposed to be doing with Supernova. That doesn't mean that all of them are critical, but they're all part of the process. So I think that can be helpful in reviewing where we are versus where we were. So let's just get a little dialogue and conversation around those topics, if I could.
Do you guys want to start, or you want me to go?
Or you want to?
I can give you what Chris and I have done. Last year, our last meeting, when you talked about the failure points and what have we failed at the most, we talked later that day. And our biggest failure was relieving ourselves of enough of a candidate. And within 2 days after that, we had a joint partnership put together with a younger rep who's coming in, who's in our office in Allentown. And we're making the move. So we've got him on board, where we have our rep code made as of last week. And we have our list now that we are going to introduce him to these clients in the next, within the next 5 to 7 days.
Oh, wonderful. Congratulations.
That's the one thing we haven't done it, you know, with all this crap we've been going through the last 4 months, it went by the wayside and we talked about it and he was very excited about being offered the opportunity. So we're going to go with it.
All right. Well, great. Well, congratulations. That will make life better for everyone.
Yeah.
Terrific.
So, I mean, for us, I mean, failure, that's a tough word. we have Mike's son that just got registered and he got his Series 7 and his 66. He just got it last week. So we have him coming aboard our team. So we're trying to still classify our Supernova clients, you know, and our butlers and handing them down to Sundreen or I or even Patrice to take care of on certain maintenance calls and trying to preserve that for him a little bit. So we're trying to still work on our team just being more organized with our clients and going through that process.
So how's that working? Is it frustrating or is that still, you still got to deal with them, but.
I mean, it's working out well. I speak to them, Patrice speaks to them or Sundreen, his daughter, or he does. I mean, we tackle the client.
That's right.
And
we call
everybody.
Calling, so.
Four people. Yeah. So it.
We're making it work.
So that leaves.
Yeah, we're making it work.
Mike. Right, right. So
right now he's not on the call. We had a big flooding yesterday, so.
Well, he's here. He's stopped. Coming.
He's here. He's oh, hurt. Okay. He's coming. Okay, great.
No, yeah. He's gonna. He can hear it.
All right.
We got hit with the storm pretty bad, so we had major flooding in our area. So it's been a real.
Oh wow.
What?
Yeah, I heard there were tornadoes and everything, you know, it was rough.
More of the flooding was our issue.
Okay.
Basement, roads, all that fun stuff.
So does that leave Mike with more time? That's the key. Does he have time to do other things, focus more on the better clients, and then to have time to prospect?
I would honestly say yes, because we hit one of our bigger clients and he was doing estate planning. So he has like a $20 million life insurance he's working on. So it has relieved him somewhat. He's still a little bit, he still follows up on us a lot with all the clients. He's still very involved with that. He hasn't let that go. And so we're trying to build mm-hmm. that trust that we can follow up more to his standards.
Right.
You know, he's always asking us, well, did you ask about estate planning? Did you ask, you know, are they online? He's always, you know, but he's also a teacher, too. He's just trying to, you know, make us learn more as well, too, and be more proactive and touch all the bases with the clients. So.
Got it. Well, it's hard when you've dealt with people all those years and then all of a sudden. You know, you want to, if they're still around, they're within touching zone, you can't help but reach out a little bit. So that's why the full separation is always helpful. You don't miss them. It's like clothes from your, you know, old clothes from your closet. You don't miss them when they're gone, but you, if they're in the closet, you go through them. Periodically, you don't wear them, but you just go through them. You know, you just look at them. It takes time to get to the clothes you're going to wear, you know? So it's funny. Isn't it interesting how little. Yeah, and that's
what questions
great.
To ask. Make sure they have everything on there, you know, just being.
Okay, so from this point on, we can go a couple different directions, and I need some help from you all as to which way you'd like to go. We can you can go in the direction of building a business plan, which would be taking the five-star model and everybody, you know, the different directors, director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership, taking that and building a simple plan. It doesn't have to be complicated. Each of the directors build a plan. You may have already done this, but if you haven't, this would be the time to do it. And then have each director then report in every month as to how are you doing versus your goals that you've set. And that's what, that's, you know, people always ask me, what are the what are the better teams doing? What are the best teams doing today? And it's very simple. The best teams are doing the things that I teach. You know, I don't teach things that are going to hurt you. You know, I teach the things that are going to help you, and I teach the things that the best teams do. So, you know, the best teams do operate in an organized fashion. They have their roles and responsibilities. They do hold themselves accountable. They do have meetings. You know, they have a meeting every day, and they have two meetings a week, typically. And, you know, the game board is up and running, and the scoreboard is up and running. And they do have a business plan as to where they're going to go. Okay, so that's one direction we can go, and that is the normal, typical direction. But what I found is that some teams have not built their purpose, mission, and vision yet. And their teams are new or coming together or having a little bit of an issue or whatever. And so they found, I did this twice this week with teams that are at about your stage. And so what we did was go back to the fundamentals of how do you create a purpose and a mission statement, and then how do you create a vision of the future, where are we going to be 5 years from now? So that's kind of up to you guys. That's two different directions. One is sort of go back and rebuild something that you may need because for one reason or another that the team just needs it, right? It made a big, huge difference in my life when I created my purpose statement, my mission statement years and years ago, because it helped me to determine why I was doing what I was doing. And then from then on, I would always refer back to that to make sure that I was doing what I wanted to do, what really gave me purpose and what gave me joy. So I'll give you an example. My purpose statement is to release the human potential by choosing growth over fear, and by so doing, help others to do the same. So what does that mean? choosing growth over fear. Fear is the biggest debilitator we have in achievement as human beings. Fear is important when it comes to escaping from wild animals. But most of us aren't escaping from wild animals anymore. But we still have the fear factor as a big part of our lives. And in reality, much of the fear that we have in our lives is unfounded. I mean, look, this crazy stock market is a perfect example. I mean, half the people are out in cash waiting for the market to recover or to go down so they can buy again because they got so scared of you know, what was going to be the end of civilization with the coronavirus. So the, you know, the rest of them have gone on and run their businesses and done very well. So it's kind of a typical example of people that are much more subject to fear than other people who, you know, make arguably more rational decisions. Anyway, so fear is a big issue in people's lives, and overcoming that fear and managing that fear is fundamental to achieving success. So what's the opposite of fear? It's growth. Larry Wilson wrote a great book called Playing to Win, and he talks about the difference between playing to win versus playing not to lose. So when you play to win, the worst that's going to happen is that you learn and grow. And many of you hopefully have children, and some of you may be blessed enough to have grandchildren at this point. But one of the most important things you can teach them is that there is no losing. When you play to win, you only learn and grow. All right. And so the game isn't whether you won or lost. The game is what did you learn and how did you grow from that experience? In most sports, people learn as much from losing as they do from winning. And the really high achievers are constantly learning from what they, from their failures. So we're not afraid of the term losing or failing. It's part of the process of growing. So anyway, back to the purpose statement. My purpose is to release the human potential by choosing growth over fear, and by doing so, help others to do the same. So fundamentally, what does that mean? It says, I'm going to set the example by constantly choosing growth over fear, and hopefully others will follow. So that purpose statement was built on some values that we listed. And one of the first steps in building a purpose statement and a mission statement is to list your values. So literally there are, you know, many 50 values that you can list, but what are your values, and what are more important? What are the more important values to you, and what motivates you, and what is important in your life? So my values were integrity, honesty, creativity, hard work. Interesting, people put family down as a value. Family really isn't a value. It's the things that family brings you that are the value. So love, love, intimacy, and connection with others, etc. So, you know, I asked them to put down their values, their top five values, and his number one value was golf. I said, golf? Clearly, there was a gap between his understanding of values and what what they really are. I don't know whether he was trying to be funny or he was, but it never left me. So I'll give you another example. My mission statement is to boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully share the map. So what does that mean? And what values are incorporated there? To boldly go, that means courageous, right? Courage. Boldly go where no person's gone before. That would be risk-taking, more courage, maybe some creativity. Create something new. Boldly go where no person's gone before, and then joyfully share the map. That means share what you found and do it in a joyful way. So giving is very important in my life, sharing, coaching. And so when I retired or graduated, as I like to say, in 2006, I knew that I needed to have some fun through coaching and sharing. And so, you know, I do some volunteer work, but my real joy still comes from this, from coaching and teaching. And if Mike likes to do that, then that's a gift. It's something that you do without thinking. It's something that you like to do. So there are managers and then there's coaches. And I always considered myself a coach when I was running offices or districts or regions or whatever. And I never stopped coaching, even when I had, you know, thousands of financial advisors. So it's always been an important part. And that's why when I retired, I decided to do this and still do it. But I, you know, I've never taken a salary. All my proceeds go to my foundation, which gives scholarships for kids that deserve them and need them. And so it's just been a fun journey. And I have no problem in staying on track and doing what I'm doing because I have a clear purpose and a mission. and I say that changed my life so that I became much more focused and created Supernova and shared Supernova with everybody in my former firm. And I did it for nothing. I never got paid for it. I did it for 2 years. And I don't regret 1 minute of that. It was one of the best times I've ever had. And it created a brand that that has sustained itself. And so I think it's important. But anyway, so the question is, do you have those fundamentals built? Or would you like to build those? And I can help you do that. Or we can go on and do a business plan. Or we can do both. We have 9 more sessions, but you'd have to do some work in between in order to make this happen. So let me get some feedback from you guys.
I would say the purpose and the vision would be more important prior to the business plan. To start with that, that was my opinion.
I would say the same for our team as well, too.
Okay, good. If you haven't done it, it's really an interesting exercise, and it can help clarify, you know, we celebrate the differences in each of us, right? And this is a way of making clear what our differences are, but then pulling together to create a unified purpose and mission that we all can buy into. So, all right. So here's what you do. You can go anywhere on the internet and just Google values, and you'll see it'll come up with a list. Values, yeah. And it'll come up with a list of like 35 or 50 values. And what you do is you know what your values, some of your values are, but you may not know. It's like golf. The guy thought golf was a value. Okay, not. It's a game. Anyway, so then you pick from those values, and I suggest you pick, say, 10, you know, 5 to 10 values that you think are really the most important values in your life. Okay. And then what you do, if you're separated from each other, then you can do it with a Zoom call, or you can do it, you know, I would say you'd have to probably do it with a Zoom call. So each person writes out their top, their values, and then you rank them in order. And it's not going to be perfect. Don't worry about that. Just generally rank them as to what you think is the most important versus the least important. And then what you do is you get together and somebody needs to sort of be the leader in this, and you take each of, and you just go around the horn, just go around from each person and ask for their top five values, and then you list them on a board, all right? So you do your top five values from person A, and then person B, give me your top five values. Now, if there are values that are in common, you just put another check mark by the first value. And if not, you just add the values to the list. And what happens, you go around six times, you're going to find that some of the values you have in common. All right. And so it'll have four check marks by a certain value, like integrity. So that becomes a very important value for the team and one that you have in common. So then what you do is you list those values that you have in common on the board, and then you prioritize those five. All right, so you come up with, say, 5 to 7. You could have as many as 10 values up there. The number isn't as important as the focus. So let's say you had top five values. Well, those values then are really important to the team overall. And this is where you begin to write your purpose statement. Now, your purpose statement is a little different than your mission statement. Your mission statement can be a longer statement as to what your overall mission is. Your purpose is, think of it as, if you all didn't exist in your communities, what would be missing from the community? Okay, so it should be about a one sentence purpose statement. So mine is just about, it's one sentence, right? It's to release the human potential by choosing growth over fear, and by so doing, help others to do the same. So it's a simple sentence, but it incorporates a lot of who I am, okay? That's my purpose. My mission, though, is bigger, all right? To boldly go where no person's gone before and joyfully share the map. Now, it's still just one sentence, but it incorporates a lot of my values. And it incorporates a lot of what I want to accomplish in my life. Now, Supernova's mission statement is to improve the client experience by improving the FA and CA experience. All right? So we improve the client experience by improving your experience. By making you more efficient, more effective, you improve the client experience constantly. So our purpose is completely aligned with yours. So it makes it our, so it's a very, so you can see from my, the way I do things, my mission and purpose statements are very simple, right? But that's because I want to remember them. I want to be able to articulate them. Some people like to write out very long mission statements, and that's great. But if you look at the mission statements for different companies, it may help you. They've had, many of the great companies have really interesting mission statements. So that's it. Now, that takes some work and it takes some leadership, but it's very simple in reality, but it takes some work. And you may have to rewrite it. And it's okay. You can rewrite it 5 times. So who's going to lead the initiative for each of your teams?
I can lead for Chris and I and Cindy, and you know, we might incorporate Sean a little bit into it, our new partnership.
Okay, terrific. Yeah, he should definitely be in it.
Yep.
And I can talk to Sandrine, and her and I can leave the purpose and mission statement as well, too, and start the meeting. You know, we'll talk to Mike and Patrice and see who wants to include for the purpose.
Yeah, and try and include everybody that is on your team to be on your team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if there's, you know, a new player, make sure they're on the team because this makes them feel part of the team and they kind of, sort of a rebirth of the team. So it's a, you know, a chance to everybody to step back and realize, why are we doing all this? And it gives you a sense, well, it gives you a sense of purpose and mission, which is in reality much more important than the other things. You know, we do it for money, but the money isn't why we live, you know. We live for purpose. And many times organizations lose their way because they lose their purpose and they become too focused on money or something like that. I once coached a guy, I coached managers, and I once coached a manager, and he was running a big operation in LA. And I asked him what his purpose was. And he said to make money. And I was freaked out by that. I just couldn't believe it. And I said, well, you mean besides something else? And he said, no, my purpose is to make money. He meant make money for himself. Okay. And so I stopped coaching him. It was impossible. He had no values. Anyway, so there are those people, Bernie Madoff and others like that, but they generally don't end up with very happy lives. So anyway, that's what I will leave you with then. If you get stuck, you can email me or call me. Happy to help you in this because it's an important part of what we do.
Yeah,
and I look forward to hearing the results on our next call. So that gives us 30 days to get this done. I think it'll be good. I mean, it'll be very good for you. But if you get stuck, email me or call me. Happy to run past any challenges. So again, everyone list their values, their top 5, 10, whatever values, 5, 7 values. And then you go around the horn, you go around the group and ask for each of their values and then compare that to the first set of values that the first person put up. If there's duplicates, you just put another check mark next to that. And so what you do is you realize this one, you know, if we have 5 people on the team, we have all 5 have listed this as a value. That may be our number one value then. Okay. So then you prioritize the group's values and then you use those values to, and they don't have to be the same words. You don't have to use the word integrity. You don't have to use the words courage because you don't hear courage in my mission statement. But to boldly go where no person's gone before, I know took that from a TV show. But boldly go where no person's gone before incorporates courage, creativity. So you don't need those terms in your mission statement. But the word should incorporate what it is that you are, what your values are. So you sort of use your words, the values, to build on that. You use those to build your purpose statement, your mission statement. Okay? So have fun with it. It's an interesting exercise, and it should help to pull your team together and have a clear sense of where you're going. And then the next time we will do a vision statement. but we'll leave the vision statement for the next time. The vision statement would be, where do we want to be 5 years from now? What would the team look like at that point? What would our business be? What would our team look like? And how will we feel about it? And then you work it from that vision back to today so that you can then set goals. And then you build your your business plan based on that 5-year vision. The vision can change over time, but you've got to start somewhere with what the vision would be like. So we'll work on that next time. Okay?
Okay, great.
Any
All
questions?
Right.
Yeah, I think this will be fun. Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. All right.
All right.